You'll listen to a podcast brought to you by Renew Church. Renew is committed to reaching people and building lives through faith, family and fun. We hope you'll be blessed by this message.
Well, it's great to be here. It's great to be with you. You're looking great. Are you feeling great? Good. Fantastic. Great to see people here. Back from different places and around. If you're a visitor as well, we make you really welcome this morning. Okay, I want to talk to you about a subject this morning that actually we talk about quite a lot on here. I know Matt certainly spoke about it once or twice, and I think once or twice, and other people have. And it's about how God speaks to us. Because at the end of the day, the whole point of being a Christianity is it's different than religions because we're not just following a set of rules. I'm in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Is anyone else like that today? Fantastic. And if I'm in a relationship with someone, I want to speak to them and I want them to speak to me. Because generally, you know, when a relationship breaks down, what happens is you don't speak and people don't speak. Is that right? Generally, that's what I think. I think when you go to counselling, they try and get you to talk if you never talk. That's why I never became a counsellor. It's not really my strongest point. I just tell people to get a grip. No, I don't really. I'm very loving, caring, gentle and caring and loving. As some of you will know. Okay, so fantastic. So it's really important that we speak to each other. I've certainly lost my counselling skills right now. Everyone is not banging on my door saying, well, I need some help, Johnny. Please come and help me. So that was a start to the morning. But it's really important that we know that God speaks and how that works. How do we communicate with him? How does he speak to us? And it's such an important day-to-day thing. And I'm just reading through the book of Acts at the moment, so probably most of the time I come up, I'm probably going to speak about Acts because it's taken me a long time to read through it because it's such an incredible book, such an amazing book. And I'm just reading through it at the moment. I started in January and I'm on about chapter 12 now, so I'm reading it quite slowly. But it's excellent. And then I just want to read you a passage, and I'm going to read you the whole chapter today. I said to Ben, as I put the words up on the screen, he says, this is good, this is the whole chapter. I probably won't need to say anything. There's a lot of verses in here. So I can just read the Bible and we can all go home happy. But I just want to look a little bit at a little passage in the Bible, and it's an absolutely vital passage. Not that there's a bit that's not vital in the Bible, but it's a passage that's so important to every single person in this room. Because basically, if this bit isn't in the Bible, we don't get to be here to some degree. Because it's the first time that a Gentile is a non-Jew, gets saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's important because that means it's available to me because I am not a Jew. So if you're not a Jew, it's very important today that you read and listen to this passage because it's the first time that that happens. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit, and there's some bits in there that I'm going to come to, but I must just get back to my notes, so I'm wandering off them a little bit. Communication is so important, and we talk about it, and whenever we talk about it, we'll mention two things that we will always talk about are prayer and the Word of God. And the key to it is what I'm going to talk about today. It's not those two main points, but those are actually core to everything. Because if you don't know what the Word of God says, how do you know what you're listening is correct? Because God will never contradict what he says in the Word of God. And so if God says something to you and you think, wow, God's told me to do this, that sounds a bit odd, check that's what it says in the Bible. If it doesn't say it in the Bible, then you're probably listening to something that's a little bit off-kilter somewhere and out of the way. You need to know that's what it says. And prayer is our communication that we talk about all the time. So whatever I say today, it's got to be done to these three things. These two things need to be in line with it. So I want to look at five ways in this passage. We're going to read it right now. It's the whole of Acts chapter 10, if you've got your Bible with you. If not, they are on the screen as well. It's a lot of verses, so the writing's a little bit smaller than it is sometimes. I'm going to read it through you. It's from the New Living Translation I'm reading. If it's a little different than yours, that's fine. I just want to read it, and then we're going to just go through. I'm going to read the whole of the chapter. I once heard someone say, long passage of scripture, short sermon. Maybe that's what we'll get. We'll see how it goes. But let's start in Acts chapter 10. It says this, in Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore." As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened, and he sent them off to Joppa. The next day, as Cornelius's messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up onto the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry, but while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared, "I've never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure or unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled out of up to heaven. Peter was very perplexed. What could this vision mean? Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them." So Peter went down and said, "I'm the man you are looking for. Why have you come?" They said, We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He's a devout and God-fearing man, well respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message." So Peter invited the men to stay for the night. The next day he went with them and accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter pulled him up and said, "Stand up, I'm a human being just like you." So they talked together and went inside where many others were assembled. Peter told them, "You know it's against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me." Cornelius replied, "Four days ago I was praying in my house about this time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon a tanner who lives near the seashore. So I've sent for you at once and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you." Then Peter replied, "I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. Isn't that great? In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him when he rose after he had rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name." Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, "Can anyone object to their being baptized, now that they had received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterward, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. And take a big breath. So that's a large reading for a Sunday morning, isn't it? But it's important that we read the Word of God sometimes in church as well, because sometimes we can just get a little bit, we can miss it. And I didn't want to miss any of that part of that story out, because you don't get the whole picture. So you need to get the whole picture of what was happening here. And just to sort of get your heads around a little bit. So this is a while after Jesus' return. And a few chapters before, it was the first time that a kind of a half-Jew had ever been saved, someone that was kind of half-Jewish almost. Before it was only Jews, then it was kind of the half-Jews. And this is the first time that a non-Jew sort of hears the gospel, the good news about Jesus, and gets saved that we read about. That's why it is so, so important. And I just want to look at five ways that God speaks through this passage. God uses different ways to speak to the people that are in this passage, both to Peter and to Cornelius as well. But before I actually look at those 5 points, I want to look at why. Why did God speak to these two people? What was it about these two people that God spoke so clearly? Something about their lives that made God say, I want to speak, I want to communicate to them. Because that's really important, because we can understand all the how God speaks, but we need to know why he speaks. Why were these people so important that they wanted to be speaking to him? So first of all, that we have Cornelius in verse 2, we hear what he was. He was a good man, he was doing good stuff. And actually God spoke to him when? When he was praying, when he was in prayer. And exactly the same with Peter in verse 9, we see also that what God spoke to him, he was up on the roof. When was God speaking? While he was praying. Why do we mention it's so important to pray? Why so often do we just repeat the same message almost from the front, that actually your walk with God will depend on how well much you pray and how much you read your word? Why? Because that's what happens. It genuinely isn't rocket science. The greatest people of God that you will ever find will be people that pray and people that read their Bible. It is as simple and as straightforward as that. And the more time you give to that, the nearer you will get to God, and suddenly you will understand it. Okay, so it is really that simple. But that's why God looked at these two people, both good guys, both that were dedicated to finding more out about this God and Jesus and the stuff about him. And that's why God spoke to these two people. So often we want, and the ways that I'm going to talk about in a minute, and I really am probably going to make you ask more questions than give you answers, but that'll be good because that means you'll go home, hopefully, and find out some of the answers that I don't answer today. Do you understand that? I haven't got time to go through all the stuff, but I just want to give you little bits of tasters for you to look into a little bit more and maybe ask some people a little bit more. But so often what we want is some of these things that we talk about today are quite unusual ways that God speaks. And we like that. We like the flashing light moment where God would come. We like almost, we hear about Paul in the Damascus Road. We think, if God stopped me in the middle of the road and blinded me, that would be a great way to speak to me. God, speak to me like that. And we want God to speak to us like that, don't we? We want the huge, enormous explosion almost to tell us something, the big, clear ways that God speaks. But we need to understand, if we're not willing to put some time into the quiet place, into the secret place, that's who God speaks to. God will speak to those people that spend time on their own, hunting him, seeking him with all their heart and with all their soul. That's when God comes and speaks to people generally. And so often we want the shortcut, even as Becky mentioned this morning, we want the shortcut to God. God, just shout at me, write my life down on a plan so I can follow it. Give me something. There's a story in the Bible where God actually writes on the wall with his finger, and I think, God, will you write on the wall with my finger and plan my life out for me? Because that would be great. I would understand it if I suddenly saw a huge hand write something on the wall. I think, wow, God's right speaking to me. But it's in the secret. It's in the quiet place. It's in those extra moments that you get up or stop up at night or find some time for him that God begins to speak. And then these other things will begin to appear in your life. So don't find a shortcut in your walk with God either. Don't just seek God for the spectacular moments. Do it in the individual, the dedication, the discipline of your life. And then God will speak. So I want to look at five ways in this passage that God speaks. And some things that are a little bit perhaps think, wow, that is unusual, and some things that are just our day-to-day living as well. Okay, are you still with me? Brilliant. Okay, large introduction, shorter part, small conclusion. Is that okay? Fantastic. So point one, the first time that God speaks to in this passage is through an angel. So we have in verse 3, Cornelius, he has this kind of vision, but an angel actually appears to him and starts to speak. And we know it was an angel, he said it was a white glowing kind of angel that some of us kind of sometimes imagine angels are like, especially in nativity scenes and everything with halos and all of that jazz. That's a little bit probably what this one might have been like. It was certainly bright and glowing. a real experience, and he hears something as the angel speaks. Now, I'm not an expert on angels. I'd just like to point this out. And I was thinking, I think I've heard two people preach on angels in my whole life, actually, as their message. One of them came, some of us that are as old as me that might remember Terry Law that used to come here. I remember him preaching on angels, and he'd wrote a book about it, a brilliant book that sort of explained a little bit. And it's not something we hear talked about, actually, or preached on very often. So I'm not going to come to you as an expert on angels, but I do know there's a lot of rubbish talked about angels in the world, absolute trash, and I must be careful that I don't get too excited about how I explain how other people talk about angels. I mean, Simon might be out there otherwise, and it's not, but there's a lot of New Age teaching that is absolute rubbish on angels, and it creeps into the church if we're not careful. Let me tell you, we have to be careful what we let creep into our church. So in church, quite often you'll get the extremes that there's no such thing as angels, or angels do everything almost. And there's the sort of the extremes that angels are everywhere, they're doing everything all the time. And then there's some that don't believe in angels. So that's kind of almost the extremes of the whole thing. But I just want to give you a few angel facts and then encourage you to go and look at it a little bit more, please. Because literally, you could preach for hours on angels when you actually go through how many times it's mentioned and different things in the Bible. But I just want to give you a little bit of truth that I do know, and then let you think a little bit more about it. So the word actually comes in the New Testament word, the Greek word is angelos, and it actually means messenger. So we're talking about God speaking. So an angel is often God's messenger, and he's bringing a message. And that's kind of how we know when often it comes, an angel speaks through the, whether it's through the nativity when he comes and announces it, whatever it is, they come with a message to give. It's mentioned over 100 times in the Old Testament and 186 times in the New Testament. That's quite exciting. That means if something gets mentioned 186 times in the New Testament, it's quite an important thing. It's not just a one-off occurrence. These angels get mentioned quite a lot. So there's a few little facts, and then I'm going to move on, okay? Because I could get quite in-depth in it, and I'm not going to. So angels were created by God. That's really important to understand. They were created by him to worship him. One of the things that happens in the world is instead people start to worship angels. Let me tell you, if you worship an angel, you're going up a very, very wrong road. Absolutely way into the wrong road. Angels were created to worship God, to pass messages on, to do certain things. You should never, ever worship an angel. In fact, I'd say be very careful about someone that I've heard people talk about communicating with angels. I'd say be very careful even doing that, because the Holy Spirit is here for me to communicate to God. I don't actually have to send the message back to an angel if it comes and speaks to me. It's really important that we don't get carried away, because we suddenly put angels in a place that God doesn't intend them to be. And that's what happened very often around the world. If you go to the books shops and buy a book on angels, like a normal secular bookshop, I'll guarantee that it will be full of rubbish. Don't read it. Don't read a book on any angel that you get from a secular bookshop. In fact, go, if you've got one at home, go and burn it, because it's absolute rubbish. Okay? But it's these little bits that will creep into your life if you're not careful, and you'll hear people talking about them at work and different things, and we need to know the truth on these things. And it's an important part of the teaching. We need to get a hold of what it is. So they're designed to worship God. They're designed to serve God. They serve and protect their warriors. Often it talks about God of the angel armies. They're fighting things. These are incredible things. These aren't the little angels that we see floating around in the nativity scene. These are warriors. These are incredible things that are about, that are sent to protect us and do us. And so we need to just understand a little bit what an angel is when it speaks rather than what it isn't. They're not these little white things, and they're not always the white glowing things even that Cornelius experienced here. There's a verse in Hebrews that's very important, that's a real challenge to me when I read this, and I think, oh, wow, this is a challenge. And Hebrews 13, verse 2 says this. It says, "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. Why? For some who have done this have entertained angels without actually realizing it." That means that you might have seen an angel but not known it. Because trust me, if there was a huge white thing flapping around eating dinner with you, you'd understand that it was an angel. But this verse tells me here, actually, they don't all appear like that. And so there's angels about that we don't even hear about. And I love to hear different stories. I remember Becky sharing a story once, and different people sharing stories about things that have just happened, and it's just way beyond. And it's like a person can appear in that way. And I don't fully claim to understand everything about it, but we need to be careful. I think I'll end with this point on angels. We need to be careful that we don't make angels what they aren't. And we need to be very, very careful. But they can be used still as well. Let's not wipe them out. Let's not say, oh, I'm too worried about what an angel can do, because we might see little moments. And I'm sure we'll look back in our lives when we get to heaven and we'll see a moment and think, God says, did you not see that angel right there protecting you? It was keeping you. It guided you in those moments. And so it's massively important that we get our balance with them. And one of the reasons we have to be really, really important is that an angel will always give glory to God. Whatever it does, whatever it says, whatever it does, it will always point and glorify God and nothing else. And one of the reasons it's really important is there are actually two sorts of angels. Okay, so a lot of people don't understand this, but God created all the angels, but then Lucifer, Satan, was an angel and he fell and he takes some angels with him. So the two sorts of angels that are around are, yes, God's angels, but their enemy has angels too. And actually the Bible tells us that the enemy will come, what? As an angel of light. Why is it important to understand what an angel is about? Because if you're not careful, you'll be blinded by an angel of light that isn't an angel from God. And we need to be so careful and so wise and so good in this. Is that okay? I'm trying to sort of explain it to you in a loving way, but not so loving way that you just think it's mamby-pamby, because this book is not mamby-pamby. It's real, it's hard, we need to understand it. And we don't want to be taking anything away. So we need to understand about angels. Okay, I'm not going to go any deeper on that today. Okay, I need to try and find some books to recommend to people, and I haven't done it yet. I will do it. So if you want to find some books on it, I will try and find them. If you want a recommendation, and I'll give you a good book, or if someone's got one, please do that. Okay, that's angel. Are we okay still? Beautiful. Second point was that a way that God spoke was through a vision. To Peter in verse 10 to 16, he explained to him in a vision. It says he was up on the roof, he was praying, and then it said that he had a sort of a vision. He was almost in a trance, and this white sheet gets loaded with a load of animals in it, and he gets spoken to by a vision. So as a picture is shown. And again, we need to understand that we need to be wise in how God can speak through a vision, because it's not always from God because you have a picture. It's not always from God. You see, if you take hallucinogenic drugs, you will get some pictures appear in your head. And let me tell you, they're not from God. I won't go too far down that path, but I have had people talk to me and tell me they've seen something, and I realize those pictures are not from God. They're from something that they've done with some other substance in their bodies. And they have these pictures, but they're convinced they're from God, but they weren't. And so we need to be wise in even receiving a vision. So what do we do to be wise in a vision? We get a picture, and it's great. Sometimes we have someone that comes and shares a picture at church, or someone might have done it with you. You might have had a vision yourself. And it's really important to see how that works. What does God say about it? Well, the first thing is, as everything else, you've got to check that it lines up with Scripture. You see, if you have a vision and a picture of something, if it's telling you to do something that the Bible says don't do it. It's not from God. And it's straight every single time. It's got to come back. That's why it's so important that we get this into our bodies, into everything. You see, the gospel, the vision that Peter had actually was spoken about previously, that the gospel would go to Gentiles, to the rest of the world. So it was spoken. So Peter's vision of this whole sort of sheet and animals come into it, and the fact that it's going to go, everything is clean, it's going to be available to everybody, it was already spoken of in the word of God. It was backed up by what Scripture said and what Jesus had said. So check it lines up with Scripture. Secondly, try and share it with someone that's wise. Find someone that you think, okay, I've got this picture and I'm not quite sure what it is. Find someone in church, someone else. Don't share it with someone that's just a nutter. Share it with someone that is someone that can help you and actually direct you. Probably in peace, not quite PC, some of these things I'm talking about, but it's good. Okay, share it with someone wise. And thirdly, pray around it. Pray about it. If you have a picture, pray about it. You see, Peter had this picture of this thing, but he said he was thinking about it when God began to speak to him. He didn't just say, oh, wow, there's a white sheep with some lizards in it. I'm going to go and eat an iguana. That wasn't what he did. Yet some of us, we get a picture and we think, all right, there's a horse there. Quick, I need to go and buy a horse. No, that's not it. He thought about it. He processed it. And he was waiting for God to speak and explain to him what that meant. It's very often a picture and a vision. It's not very often black and white, do this, do that. It's something that means something. It represents something. And we need to work out what that means. And we need to work out, is it something just for me? Sometimes you'll get a picture and it's just entirely for you. I remember someone explained to me once that they were talking and they were in prayer. And sometimes we think that we have to share everything that God speaks. But sometimes God will just whisper something. He says, that's just for you. He'll show you something that's just for you. You don't need to share that with anyone else. Let me share what it is for you. But it's not something you need to share with the church. Because I've got something sometimes I just want to share with you. And sometimes it's not. And sometimes it's something to share. So the second thing that God used to speak was through a vision. And he still does these things today. I need to point that out. That's why I'm talking about it. These things are still about. The third thing that happened that God spoke was through the Holy Spirit's voice. In verses 19 to 20, when Peter was sort of trying to work out what this vision was meaning, it says that through the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter and said, there's three people coming. Just go with them. Don't worry. Just go ahead and go in. And there's this Holy Spirit's voice begins to speak. Now, some of this can be quite sort of, this is how I interpret this. I just want to point this out. I might be wrong in how I interpret this, but I don't believe this was an audible voice that anyone else heard. I don't believe it was like a voice that was like speaking and everyone else was listening to. I believe it was the Holy Spirit just communicating right in to Peter's spirit, and he knew what was happening. So I don't believe it was a voice, but that you can get audible voices then the Holy Spirit speaks. But I believe this is it. The actual word that's used is pneuma. It means something to do with it. It means like a breath. And it almost talks about how God communicates to us on an internal way. And I believe that's what happened here, is the Holy Spirit communicates to Peter saying, look, there's some three people at the door. Just go with them. Don't hesitate. I've sent them on. And it's quiet. And this is a very often also true, how people, God will like to communicate to us still. When you're in tune with him, you can just sense something in your spirit that the Holy Spirit is connecting to you. And you'll just see if something is right and also if something is wrong. And you get those moments that I can just remember sometimes I think, I shouldn't do this, or I should be doing this. And there's nothing that's sort of sinful about it, but it's just a place maybe I should go or I shouldn't go. And there's just something inside of me that checks, and that's the Holy Spirit sometimes just checking on us. And it's almost like it would be nice if it was just a black and white easy thing that would be easy to do, but it's not like that. It's something you experience and you work at and you go through as you get through. And I think that's what happens here. And God loves to communicate still through his spirit. But it'll only come when you're close to him. These people were hungry, they were praying, and that's when it happened. And again, we sometimes, we're a bit numb to this stuff because we don't spend enough time just in his presence, in listening, in reading, and doing those things. The closer you are to him, the more you'll hear his voice, you'll sense it inside your very being. And we have to work our relationships. See, Jesus described the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to send you what? A helper. One who comes alongside you. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. You remember when Peter came and he talked about, Peter Cavanagh came, he talked about the Holy Spirit. Excellent sort of illustration of walking behind you to start, and then he's in front of you, he's leading you, but then he's sort of behind you, helping you, and all those moments. So that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He comes and he helps, he comes alongside, and he will help you in those situations. Third point, Holy Spirit's voice will speak. Okay, I'm flying through. I'm nearly done. Sorry, I'm rushing on. Number four, through preaching and testimony. So Peter goes and he goes to the person's house. This is verse 34 to 43. And he starts to talk and he says to Cornelius, well, okay, what do you want me to do? He says, just tell us what you know. Tell us everything about your experiences. So Peter wins to share. He talks about Jesus. He talks about what he did. He talks about him being hung on a cross. He talks about him seeing him as he was resurrected. He talks about him going out and how all the prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus. And preaching and testimony is one of the great ways that God wants to communicate to you the truth of his word. And we need to listen to preach. That's why we need to be in church on a Sunday. Yeah, it's great to come together, but it's an opportunity to hear the word of God. And there's so many ways that you can hear the word of God now by just listening and tuning in and pulling different things. Let's get some books, read some things off some good preachers. Read those things. It's so important that preaching and listening to God's word is a way that God speaks to you if you're open to it and are willing to listen to it. Now, don't get me wrong, also, there's rubbish out there. Again, you need to be fine and you need to sort of be wise into all of that. That's why you need to know your own Bible. Don't just take some things that you see on the telly and think, oh, that's great, a preacher said it. Have a look yourself. Find it out and find out and ask somebody else. It's so important to listen to that. And not only that, this is where it sort of goes on another level. So God speaks. He speaks to Cornelius as he's sharing his story, which is great and it's fantastic. But then suddenly Cornelius has a story to tell. And the thing is that you have a story to tell. So how does God speak? Actually, he speaks to me, but then he wants to speak through me as well. And it's exactly the same to you. He wants to speak to you, but he also wants to speak through you. He wants you to begin to share your story with someone. He wants you to speak to someone at your work about Jesus and how he's changed your life. He wants you to sort of experience, find some truth about him that you can share with someone else. This is what it says in Romans 10, verse 4. It says that... Verse 14, it says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? God is sending you, not only speaking to you, but he wants to speak through you as well. So preaching and testimony, and that's for you. Perhaps, Matt, you just come up now. That would be great. And this is my last point. I'm almost done. So fifthly and finally, God speaks through gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we have this incredible moment. This Cornelius, I'm fairly sure that Cornelius knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. He just certainly didn't know about speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But suddenly, as Peter begins to speak to them, it falls on them. The power of God comes. The Holy Spirit comes. And the gifts of the Spirit are seen right there in that place. And suddenly, something happens as God speaks. So he speaks first of all to those that came. Suddenly he sees that God wants to do what he's done in their lives. He wants to do it in other lives. There's some evidence there of what God is doing. As people were speaking in tongues, people were doing, who else knows what else was happening, or the gift of the Spirit were being seen perhaps. Suddenly there was some evidence there. There was some life there. Something was happening and God was speaking through his gifts in these other people. And the same thing happens with us. The Holy Spirit comes and he speaks through what he's doing us, into us, but then he wants to speak through us through his gifts. And as the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, he wants you to use those gifts to speak to other people. He wants you to reach out to other people through that, and God wants to speak through you, through his gifts, however it may be. And not just his gifts, but through his fruit. As people see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, as they see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control in your life, wow. As he sees that, he begins to speak through you as you begin to show your love to him. You see, God loves to speak. There's many ways that he wants to speak, not just to you, but he wants to speak through you. His heart is to communicate to you, to these that are outside these walls, and using you to speak through them today. We don't choose how he speaks. We don't say, God, will you speak to me by writing on the wall? We speak to be my God by sending an angel. We just put ourselves in a position where God will speak to us. And there's just three little points I want you to remember when we close. What do we need to do so that God will speak to us? The first thing is this: be hungry. Be hungry. Be hungry for more and more of God. And as you become someone that hungers after God and what he has for you in your life, as you begin to dedicate different every area of your life to him, as you begin to sort of push it through and say, God, I want a deeper relationship with you. Don't just want some surface. I want more of you, awesome God. Then God begins to speak as your prayer life improves to just to maybe following a list of just every moment of every day you're walking with him. God will begin to speak. The second thing is know his word. You need to know that what he says is true. You need to know that what it is, it backs up what you're believing, what you're hearing. So know his word. And thirdly, and really importantly, is be someone who says yes. Be someone that will obey. See, I love it when people come up here, and we're blessed in this church to have Matt and Becky with us, that when God speaks, they say, okay, let's go. And it's such an example, because God wants people that when he speaks to him, they'll say, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And sometimes we say, God, speak to us. But then when God speaks, we say, no, I think you've got the wrong message there. Go and send it to somebody else. We need to be people that will come and say, when God says, say, yeah, okay. Okay, God, it might not be necessarily how I want it, but I want to do that. I want to speak. I want to hear from you. Let's just close our eyes for a moment and bow our heads. Awesome God, we thank you. You're a God who just loves to communicate to his people. He just loves to communicate and speak to us and through us, awesome God. And just maybe right now in this place, while every head's bowed, every eye's closed, Maybe actually you've never even said yes to him yet. Maybe you've been hearing him speaking about the truth of who he is, what he's done. Maybe even just today, when I've spoken about it, the cross, maybe as we broke bread together today, there's something about, wow, if this is true. And right now, it's almost as though sometimes someone's holding a mirror up to you and you say, wow, they're talking right to me. And right now, you can feel inside that God is speaking to you right now. You sense the reality of him. And maybe you've never before said yes to him. You've never said, yeah, do you know what, Jesus, I want to give you my life. Put my life in your hands, the one who actually knows what best to do with it. And if you've never done that, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. I'm just going to ask you to put your hand up so I can see it. Doesn't really mean that that's happened, but it's just a sign that we can see. Is there anyone in this place today that's just going to say, yeah, Jesus, I hear you. I want to listen to you. I want to follow you today with my life. Is there one in this place? I'd hate anyone to go without giving you the opportunity to do that. We just don't know what's around the corner. This could be your last moment. Is there one? Okay, let's just in the next few seconds, let's just put ourselves in a position where we say, God, what are you saying to me right now? What is it that's your moment? Sometimes it's difficult just to find those moments in our busy weeks. Right now, this next couple of minutes, there's no mad rush. Just say, God, what are you speaking to me? What are you speaking to me? Might not use a big angel. He might not even give you a vision. Might not be through, but he might just want to whisper something in your ear right now. There's just a something inside of you that says, oh, wow, that's you, God. Jesus. Jesus. Yeah, God, I just thank you that your heart is to communicate to us. Holy Spirit, you want the one that comes alongside and helps us. You're the one that comes alongside and it'll just whisper and lead us and direct us in a way. I just thank you that your heart is to communicate with your children. I pray we'll be people, Lord Jesus, that we'll just spend our time, we'll be hungry after you. We'll begin to open our ears up better to you. Every day, not just when we come to church on a Sunday, but every day when we're at work, when we're with our families, when we're with our friends, wherever it is that we're doing. Awesome God, I just pray that we'll be people that are so in tune with you, that we hear your voice, and we'll be people that respond with a yes, that respond with, I want to obey you, God, whatever it takes, and find and go wherever you want to take me. Thank you, Lord. You're just so incredible. You would speak to us. We say thank you, God. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for another encouraging message.